This is Take It or Leave It, the podcast releasing the raw, unedited teachings of Jesus. We are called to share his holy and powerful word that is not commonly taught, so all may be armed with knowledge of his commands. We are expected to live according to God's standard. Though this world may change, our Lord and Savior does not. Are you sure you are saved? Are you sure you are not distracted by this world? All teachings are shared with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you take it and implement change into your life, or will you leave it and continue on your own way? Jesus is coming quickly. Are you ready? I'm your host, Madison Santiago. Hello and welcome back to Take It or Leave It. We are continuing our study of priesthood today. Amen. I'm excited that you're here with me, and something that you might not know is that my church is actually more like a school. Some that hear these teachings may think that the teachings are too in-depth, the details don't matter, and nobody needs to actually know the things that we are discussing here in as much depth as we are discussing them. And I want to let you know that we are called to be workers of God, not because it's my opinion, but because that's what God says. So we should consider ourselves approved by God. And in order to do that, we cannot just imagine that, but we must diligently study the word and rightly divide the word as God says. Amen. As a review, in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "Seeing that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let's hold fast to our confession." Amen. We've read this before, and we were recently talking about the thumb. It was sprinkled with blood, not anointed. When we read of anointing, we can understand that is by the Holy Spirit. Amen. The blood of Jesus saves. So this is something different. Okay. The thumb was not anointed with blood. If it would have been anointed, it would have been with oil, right? It would have been referring to an anointing with oil, which is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. But the Bible was specific when it mentions sprinkled with blood, which is why I read it verbatim, which is why I'm highlighting this to you. We cannot assume that it is the same thing, or else God would not have said something different. The thumb symbolizes integrity, right? We had discussed how the thumb is our ability to hold fast to something like a weapon, right? Or our service to Christ. We hold fast. We are to hold on to what we say. Amen. That's what we're reading in Hebrews 4:14. Let us hold fast our confession. Amen. We hold on to what we say. If you are a follower, you hold on to what you say. We're not holding on one day and then not the next, right? That's not a true servant. That's not a true Christian. We follow Jesus Christ every day. Before we serve, we repent, meaning we change our mind to do everything Jesus says to do, right? This is our confession. We live a life of a follower of Jesus. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 24, it says, "Now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden." Okay, we talked about this as well. And again, this is just a review, but some are not deeply studying Satan. So some cannot handle some of the things that come up in other ministries. And for those who do not know and do not understand, Jesus is saying here that he's not going to let that thing go to that ministry that cannot handle, right? Why? Because they have not been taught. All right. If we are taught and not showing the manifestation of what we learned, we are guilty. There's so many teachings today, but people are not doing what they're being taught. Okay. Verse 25 of Revelation chapter 2, continuing on, it says, "But hold fast what you have till I come." So hold on to this until Jesus comes back. Do what Jesus says to, is what he is saying. Hold fast to what you know. Verse 26, "And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations." You see, where we left off in the last podcast, I had said Satan has disabled humanity's ability to hold fast to God. Satan has cut off the thumbs and toes of people today. They cannot hold fast, and they are spiritually deaf. All right? It's an awful thing. It's an awful thing. In Job chapter 2, verse 3, continuing on with our review, "Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil? And still he holds fast to his integrity, although you incited me against him to destroy him without cause. Remember talking about this? Job held on to his integrity. I encourage you to read about Job more. It's a rather long book of the Bible, but you can see how Job holds on amongst many other things. But you will see that he holds on to his integrity. You know, men are a target of the satanic kingdom, and they're more of a target than women. You see, men are ordained to be head of the household. Women are leaders also, but they are ordained to follow, right? They are under the man. They are not the head of the household because the Lord has not ordained them to be head of household. The man is ordained. So I'm not saying that women cannot lead, but if the man will not lead, surely a woman will stand up and lead, right? God ordained the man to be the head of the house. Like Adam and Eve, for example, Adam couldn't lead, so Eve led Adam. Women today, they're even more faithful in the church. Have you noticed this? And what I mean is there are more women faithfully going to church than there are men. I'm not sure of the reason for this, but I believe it to be true. If you destroy the man, you destroy the family. Job held fast to his integrity, right? And what I mean by that, if Job said it, he did it. We need people like this, with this character, to carry out God's work. A person who has gone through the washing and has been justified due to repentance, God has moved that person to a different position. So now we're going back a couple podcasts where we've discussed this, right? Where the priest is outside of the tabernacle, right? So they've been washed and justified due to their repentance, their change of mind. Now God has moved that person to a different position, which is a following Christ position, right? This is a justified position. We can still make mistakes in this position, but we no longer justify our sins. We are anointed with the Holy Spirit, right? Which is followed by the bull offering, which is the sin offering. Then the ram offering, which symbolizes us laying our life down for Christ to be fully consumed by him, and he consumes us. This is dedication and devotion to Jesus Christ. And all of these things are required. They are a must. And all are called to priesthood. So if you read this thinking, okay, this person must do that, or that's for that other person. No, we are all called to priesthood. Many think today that they're actually inside the tabernacle already when they really aren't. The sprinkling of the blood is the power to forgive sins. The blood of Jesus erased sins, right? When he was crucified, right? Remember reading this story? His blood saves. Sin is only erased, though, when we truly repent. Of course, Jesus shed his blood so that our sins can be erased, but we must truly change our mind. We must be justified to that position so our sins can truly be erased. When we hold fast, we become the thing we hold on to. So you need your thumb. And you might remember talking about this in the last podcast. We had read that the right thumb must be sprinkled with blood, and this is integrity. So you hold your Bible, you become the Bible. Jesus is the Word, right? So you become the Word through diligent study. If you hold the sword, which is the Word of God, you become the sword. Amen. Do you see that? So we discussed the thumb previously. Let's talk about big toes and the filling of the hands. As I was discussing in the very beginning of this podcast, many see these details as small and insignificant, but I disagree. God is specific, and we should seek to understand why he mentions what seem like small components. So what is the purpose of the big toe? Well, you and I know that toes grip the ground, right? And they help us to balance when we stand and move. If we carry weight on our toes, right, even just standing up, we must remain balanced. We cannot fall, but without our big toe, we will fall. Let's go to Judges chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, and it says, "And they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. Then Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and big toes." So Israel fought against the king. They didn't kill him. They chase him. They cut his thumbs and toes off. We read this before. They humiliated the king. This is what Satan has done today. He cuts the ears, the thumbs, and the toes off of people and is making fun of those who have no idea. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Okay, and as we read this, keep in mind that we all have a race to run. We run so we get the prize. So when we read this next verse, we must read it spiritually and apply it spiritually, okay? Verse 24, I mean, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. Verse 25, and everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. Okay, so who's talking here? It's Paul. He has no uncertainty in his race. Why? Because Paul has a direction. Paul is not simply beating the air. Can you imagine someone throwing punches into the air, right? It's like if you put someone in a dark room and you ask them to fight their opponent, they're going to be guessing where to hit. But Paul knows. He knows where he is going because he knows his target. He's not guessing. All right? So again, think about that in the spirit. Verse 27, but I discipline my body, Paul says, and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be disqualified. Okay, so Paul is disciplined. If he is not, he should be disqualified, right? If he's going to take up the mantle and preach to others, though he is not living the right life, he himself is disqualified. Run your race, all right? It does not take years to do so. You repent, be justified, get baptized in the Holy Spirit, be born again. And it doesn't take years. It can be quick. All right, let's talk about the filling of hands. Have you ever forgotten to get a cart when you're in the grocery store? I've done this. And soon I find myself with my hands full. I'm trying to balance everything. Maybe it's even harder because I'm holding one of my children's hand. I'll start to hold things under my arms. It's especially bad if I'm shopping, hungry, and without a cart. In Exodus chapter 29, verse 22, it says, "Also, you shall take the fat of the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, the fatty lobe attached to the liver, the two kidneys and the fat on them, the right thigh, for it is a ram of consecration." Verse 23, one loaf of bread, one cake made with oil, and one wafer from the basket of the unleavened bread that is before the Lord. Verse 24, and you shall put all these things in the hands of Aaron and in the hands of his sons, and you shall wave them as a wave offering before the Lord. So we read here that now their hands are filled, Aaron and his sons, and they wave it before the Lord. Do you see all the things in their hands? All the things we just read. They're in their hands and they are filled. Imagine yourself holding all the things we just mentioned, right? All the ram, the fat tail, the fat that covers the entrails, right? Continuing on, a loaf of bread, a cake, right? All these things you must hold and wave it before the Lord. In Exodus 29, verse 9, it says, and you shall gird them with sashes, Aaron and his sons, and put the hats on them. The priesthood shall be theirs for a perpetual statute. So you shall consecrate Aaron and his sons. We've read this before. Consecrate means fill the hands. What is filling of hands? This is to commission them, commission a person to priesthood. A man should have a great ministry, meaning they must handle many things. Why? Because their hands are filled. Priesthood is not an easy job. You must handle many things. So when we read, thou shalt fill the hands of Aaron and his sons, we can understand the entire passage. The ram of consecration is the ram of filling. In Luke chapter 19, starting in verse 11, this is a very common parable, and it says, now as they heard these things, he spoke another parable because he was near Jerusalem and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately. Verse 12, therefore he said, this is Jesus, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. So he called 10 of his servants, delivered to them 10 minas, and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him, saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. Verse 15, and so it was when he returned, having received the kingdom, he then commanded these servants to whom he had given the money to be called to him, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. All right, so trading. It says, do business until I come. This is in the New Testament where we're living in today, so we must look up the word in Greek because we know that the New Testament was originally written in Greek. And when we do this, we will see that this means to be occupied. Jesus said to be occupied, right? By some things, no, all the things that he says, be occupied by his work. Occupy means to carry on business. Whose business? Jesus's. Until when? Until he comes back. He says, be about his business. So if you're working hard in the business of God, there should be profit. We invest in the kingdom work and we profit. If your investment is not making profit, stop that investment and move on to somewhere else. If you find no profit there, you find another place. So you move again, right? It's the same idea of economics, supply and demand. You need to move to the place where there's profit. It's like stocks as well. You are not going to buy the stock that is not flourishing because there's no profit, all right? Jesus told us to dust off our feet and we keep moving. Jesus teaches us the same thing in many parables. Trade means to busy ourselves. So are you busy? Are you a busy Christian or a lazy Christian? You know, in the Old Testament, there are spiritual laws. Some in the church today say that they are in the spirit, but in reality, they are in the natural. If it's true that a man or woman repented, they will do business. They will be about God's business. This is a person that is not natural, but truly serving. It's the hope that moving in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that is what becomes natural to them. So I ask you, why are you serving? Is it because someone said to? You know, anyone doing things only because the law is telling them to cannot be saved. To fulfill the law of God, we need the Holy Spirit. Right? And the church needs to talk about him so much more. In fact, I have heard people say to their pastors, you preach too much of repentance. You preach too much of the Holy Spirit. And I think that that person or anyone who thinks that they don't truly understand the condition of this world, they cannot see in the Spirit because the people must repent and the Holy Spirit must come upon them for them to have the power to be successful in this life. It was such an important message back then, and it is today too. In Romans chapter 3, I'm going to read verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. So what's the law? Well, it's priesthood, right? And Paul wrote this, the law of the Spirit should be natural to you. Don't wait to be told to do something, because when you repent, you start your business in Christ. You find your ministry. You will seek for it, right? We were talking about vision in the very beginning of this study. You will run after your vision. Verse 20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight, right? That's a capital H, that's Jesus. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Okay, so the law helps us because we know we are wrong, but the law does not save us. We should be able to know if we live up to God's standard of priesthood. We don't want to think we are measuring up and find out that we're actually empty-handed. We do not have to guess when we can know. The Holy Spirit must be in us to do the work. If you are doing anything and are motivated because you're afraid to lose your job or God's going to be mad or you're afraid of hell, you need to examine your heart. You ought to do what you do because you've changed, because you love God. You are now born of the Spirit, like God taught. When that happens to you, if that has happened to you, you then have the power to go and go and go and to carry out his will as a priest. Amen? Thank you so much. This is Shared with the Love of the Lord, and this is Take It or Leave It. God bless you all.